Hi, this is Bill Teeple, Alan Cobb, and Donna Colby, and this is Icon Art Radio. And our special guest today is Jim Shrewsbury, whose exhibit is being displayed right now at the Icon Gallery, 58 North Main on the square, the west side of the square in Fairfield, and his show will be continuing through November 16th, I believe. Jim is the chairman of the School of Fine Art here at MUM in Fairfield, a visiting associate professor at the University of Iowa, and one of our finest artists that resides here in Fairfield and has had exhibits, been in group exhibits throughout the nation, many in recent years, and has had three major museum solo shows in recent years. And the bottom line is that I love his work, and that's why he's an icon. And his work is something that carries a load. It's the real thing. And
yeah, your work and, really carries a load.
And it's loaded in itself, isn't it?
His artist statement that he prepared for this thing is a magnificent document. Have you read this?
Yes.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
I'd read it all, but I think we'd probably put the whole audience out there to sleep. I'm going to read the first paragraph because it's beautiful. And then Donna can bring everything down to, you know, what was his childhood like and all of that, which she likes to do. Between what is known and what is not known is the wakeful presence of past and future. This abstract nature of reality which connects all of life is not really about doing or what has been done and becomes artifact, but what is, isness. It plays the role of life spark, always unspent, continuously potent, before and after every moment. It is the fullness of this open space that transformation, which is so vital to the play of imagination, takes place. Making art opens the door to this area. Opening this door is my reason for creating a work of art. Making this attempt means that I have been there first, consciously or unconsciously. This choice embodies my intent to express an experience. Well, this sounds like kind of heady stuff, but I think what really he's saying here is the most that he's getting at the most simple and uncomplicated nature of art, and that's what he's doing. It's a very simple thing. What have you got to say about all this?
It is simple to me.
It's when I look at the pieces, it's the simplicity of my awareness when I'm looking, and the gift he's giving me in the trip he's taking me on. It's a very simple thing. It doesn't take understanding. It takes opening myself to get it. Do go on. I will stop talking.
But it's basically the art expresses what we are and what we're thinking about and articulates that. It articulates what we're thinking about and a kind of vision. So this isness, this area that is what we are, is going to come out. And the more that we own that isness, the more that we are aware of it, naturally, the more that's going to come out in the work. So it's just a simple thing. And it's really a premise for any artist to operate on. And from there, everybody does it their own way because everybody has their own vision. Every artist is an artist because they have a vision and they want to express it. And that's why they're artists. That's what makes them artists. Or today, that's what we call an artist.
In the statement that you read, I guess maybe because I'm a woman and a mother, what I felt in that was that moment of giving birth in a very primal sense that happens when you make art. And what I in listening to that quote and then picturing your particular pieces of art that are in the gallery right now, I realized that what I love about looking at those pieces is that they have that energy of bare infancy, but at the same time, they kind of take you on this ride of growth and something they take you somewhere further than is in the actual object itself. And so can you talk a little bit about that? I mean, is that a conscious thing you do, or is that just because you're tapping into that tenderest, most tender level, it just happens in the eye of the viewer?
Well, that's a nice perception. I like what you're getting out of it. The becoming part, and that things are just emerging, and really, that's a very abstract level. And in that area, what I'm paying attention to is the abstract organizational structure of what every visual artist knows. I'm looking at shapes and colors and the interplay of things. And in that word interplay is caused, or in that action, that interplay is caused a relationship. It's a soft area. It's an area of between where things are turning into other things, transforming. And that's a very delicate area. It's an area in our own consciousness that we're able to settle into. And when we reach the quietest level of the mind, and so that's to find that from your perception, I'm delighted that you find that in the work. You find it points to that. What I found for a title for the exhibition, Zero Plus Suspension, it's about suspended anything, suspended thought, being between. But in terms of these pieces, it's about them floating in some way in space. There is some spatial suspension, and it's about the play between the wall and the piece and the shadows that are cast and the reflections. So the delicate wires that hold them become very important in the way that they interact with the wall and the way they're delivered from the wall. And I love the idea, that word you're using, a birth, that something is being born there. So,
yeah, it's definitely that quiet but absolutely delightful relationship to me. And I think it wasn't just me, because I saw other people.
No, others have commented
viewing
this
the
way.
Art. Yeah,
like it's a being that, given a birthing or an emerging. Yeah. That's, people have talked that way.
And the same kind of playful, sort of loving emotion that you feel when you see a beautiful child, you feel with these delicate pieces. Especially for me, the one that I kept going back to again and again was the one on the striped piece of glass that cast the shadow against the wall, that, you know, if you stood in different positions, the shadow changed in shape. And I just kept wanting to see that in every lighting condition, because it just had so many possibilities within it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to hog all the questions,
but
going.
I
keep having like questions whenever we have a guest, that they won't stop coming. Your work, as far as I've known you and the shows that I've seen, your work has this spare, light, bright sort of quality to it. Did you ever work in heavier sculptural media, or how did your evolution go as a sculptor in your relationship to form and color and lightness and all?
Well, gravity is a big when you are dealing with this area of suspension, and it's been going on for a long time, for probably at least 15 years, the coming on and off the wall at the same time, gravity becomes an important thing that you're dealing with. And the wall then becomes the same thing that the sculptor's dealing with in terms of the floor. How are things coming off the floor or coming onto the floor? Then that's just in this work been transferred to the wall. And that the wall is not something that's just the pieces are hung on, but it's a dynamic, it's an element. But it's also the opposite of that. It becomes this area of pure silence that the play, that what is dynamic plays with or comes out of. What was your question again?
Well,
what,
did you
specifically?
Did you ever at some point in your career as a sculptor work in heavier materials? And
So that is with clay. I'm not working with sculpture in clay at the moment. The other part of the exhibition, which is called The Restaurant, addresses functional clay work. But I, in working with clay, which I've been doing in the past, or plaster, there is weight there. And so for that weight to be transformed into weightlessness through the way that it's positioned on the wall, moves the piece towards success, as far as I'm. That's one of it's about proportion when you're positioning the piece, and how far away from the wall, the way it's going to be positioned, and all that, the space in between. All those shapes are put together by, articulated by proportions, by changes in direction and changes in the shape all the way around it, and the kind of shape that is made. Those proportions, just a tiny adjustment can elevate the piece, and another tiny adjustment can make it drop. And those adjustments are made when the piece is being made in clay. Mm-hmm. So I'm playing with the wall and may cut or add until it's just right. Even after it's fired sometimes, and I may change the piece some way, cut it, or I have, you know, with a saw or whatever it takes. But those heavier materials, it's really making things do the opposite of what they really are made of.
I love the consideration that I think most people don't think about consciously, even though I'm sure they perceive when they look at sculpture, is how important the space around and within a piece is to the sculptural form.
It's like Rothko was quoted as saying last night that that environment is crucial to a work of art, and it can make it what it is, and it can also destroy it. And I guess one of the things that intrigues me about your work is the way we're talking about it as sort of, I think that emergent quality comes from the fact that it's part of the wall. The wall and it have more than a coincidental relationship. But to me, it's also because the gallery is that space, that you know, exalted space in which special things are found. And your things kind of break the veneer of the gallery and penetrate it. And the color is on the wall, and some of your other works, the color is, you know, falling all the way down the wall and spreading out onto the floor. And the object is, in a sense, very clearly in that kind of transcendent blankness of the wall, and yet the wall had to be transformed in order for the object to be there. So there's a real emerging from silence kind of effect that I get from it. And your show in Des Moines, like, was that last summer or the summer before? I don't remember.
2005.
Summer a year and before. A half ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the year fall, and a half ago. I guess.
That was a really stunning kind of chorus of statements, because everywhere you looked in the room, you saw a pool of blank with something rising up out of it or coming towards you out of it, not necessarily rising. And you're confronted with, you know, several different ways of emerging from silence. And then that which is emerging is the other thing that I particularly relate to in your work, is that what is emerging isn't in a category. It's unnameable. And although it may have characteristics of things that we know or recognize, and in many cases it doesn't even have that. It's such a delight to perceive something that doesn't have to be named. It's kind of a relief. And in my own sound work, I'm very consciously going in that direction. I divide sound into music, speech, referential sound like a doorbell, a bark, the dog's bark, the slamming of the car door, sounds right. that you know what they are. And then there's everything else, the sounds that you don't know what they are, which means in most cases you don't hear them or you don't think about them, you don't recognize them. Literally, you don't recognize them. And I find that when I'm immersed in a field of that kind of material, it's a kind of relief. It lets the mind, you can either conjure up some fantasy to explain what you're seeing in your case, or hearing in my case, or you can just relax and kind of float in the non-verbal, non-categorizing part of perception. So I find your work to be tremendously relaxing, and at the same time, there's a humor to it and a playfulness to it that while I'm relaxed, I tend to laugh.
Good.
And there's there's just a, this work, I just feel like you're really in the zone these days, because this thing that you were sort of talking about is a kind of quest for a perfect balance. I think you're getting there. There's this perfect equilibrium between levity and gravity and all of the shape and form issues that we artists doing non-representational abstract art find so fulfilling, which is what I describe
it's,
more as
it's
like.
It's kind of like if you take an art gallery and leave it alone, and then sneak empty, nothing in it, and sneak into the art gallery in the middle of the night, you'll find these kinds of things emerging from the walls. And they may, you know, rush back into the whiteness when anyone comes in. But this is what's happening in all the art galleries that don't have things hung in them.
Well, there's some criticism for the white walls and the box, the contemporary art gallery and the museum, because there's a perception that didn't exist in earlier times, that art had the context of the church or something. But what you're saying reminds me of this speaking principle, that to pause before and after, especially in relation to sound, pause before and after important points. And that's really what the white walls are about.
Right.
But I also, this point is important that you're bringing out, that it's done differently for each piece, that the intervals are different, and they're sensitive to each other, the relationships around the room and to the architecture, the slight changes in the wall. And this pausing element is really deeply connected with poetry and all these things we're talking about, rhythm and interval and poetry, which then turns into song and music. And I really think of this as as music.
Yeah.
Poetry, music. You know,
I don't know much about music in terms of its structure, but intuitively, mm-hmm. it is a musical thing that I often.
Well, packed thing, when I said loaded, it's like a poem in that it's simple compact, but packed.
Yeah, it's charged.
Right.
Well, one thing that I see as a kind of musical element of your whole exhibit is the fact that you have your pieces on the wall, your sculptures, and you also have the drawings and the little paintings mm-hmm. that are flat representations of the same kind of thing that are in. And to me, that's a kind of musical consideration, you know, and especially that row where, you know, they're all like right next to each other. And there's such a beautiful rhythm going on in those.
And they're not metronomic. They're each pair is a different distance apart.
Yeah,
and that
it's
works.
Quite wonderful.
It works very nicely.
So can you talk a little bit about how in your actual, when you're working on your pieces, what is the relationship between the drawings and the sculpture that comes out? Is it a sequential thing, or does it go back and forth, or how does that work?
A lot of those pieces were, the drawings and the sculpture were made at the same time, really, over a period of time, and I would work for a few hours maybe soldering the wires together and then take a break and do some drawing. So they're really connected. Mm-hmm. The especially the colored paintings, they're connected with the work that's on the wall right there, new work. And going back and forth, I was dealing with the same thing. And they don't just, you know, it takes a while to settle into that area so that you have one focus. The parameters become narrower and deeper. I can't just come back and go into those drawings or make them or whatever. They come from, they're unique to that mm-hmm. to that time, and of course you do something again and it comes out of that time. The drawings that are in the front part of the gallery are graphite on paper. They are earlier, from 2004, and I put them there because they lead into this work and show the development. They're an indication of development prior to this work. But you can see the same kind of thinking in them.
I'm glad you answered it that way, because that was what I sensed in it, that there was this back and forth play dance kind of going on between the drawings and the pieces.
And it is a kind of dance. That's a nice word, especially in this case. I'm not drawing the sculptures. I'm just dealing with the same. There is an organic element, and then there is a kind of geometric element that go back and forth. Mm. And so there is an element that's messy or corrective too, and something that is an adjustment on top of that. There is this layering that takes place in the process, and it takes place in both processes. When I'm soldering the wire pieces together, there are changes, clipping out, subtracting, and then adding and changing the direction of a wire, and it's the same thing, really. Very similar, that's happening in two-dimensional work. Although, on the other hand, it's very different, because with the two-dimensional work, you're working two-dimensionally. Mm-hmm. You have to be in a frame of mind that there are two-dimensional restrictions here, and in order to gain the most power, you cannot try to slip into a three-dimensional thing with them. It's staying within those parameters and then indicating a three dimensions.
Yeah, the paintings seem to really have a lot to say about layers, which is a kind of a third dimension in the two-dimensional world. And I found that if I just looked at them, I didn't see anything. But if I stayed with them for a while, after a couple of minutes, I would find myself discovering favorite places in each painting. And then I found that each of the four had a similarity in what I had discovered as being my favorite areas, of my favorite places. And it always had to do with the layering. There'd be a pencil line that was getting buried under a paint line, or an ink line getting buried under a paint line. And there were implicit shapes that were beginning to emerge because I was starting to learn the painting and see where things were in it. And I guess the thing that I was left with in a sense has to do with this kind of age-old question that artists always have to contend with, which is, when do you stop? And I see these paintings building themselves up and then very wisely stopping where they stopped. Do you have anything to say about that? I guess I'm just curious if your sense of when to stop is clear, or do you have any idea in advance where it might go or where it might end?
Well, it's a conversation.
Yeah.
And that's like a conversation. You have some points, and those points need usually come out, but the dynamics, the way that they come out are different, even if you address the same points in another conversation. So that's what is, I think, important in it, and it's not done until the points come out.
Yeah.
They're not literal points, but until all the points are connected and there's some feeling of wholeness, that the parts are there, but they are within the context of a strong, balanced, the integrity of the paper.
You've been listening to Icon Art Radio, a production of Iowa Contemporary Art, Fairfield.